had this little bit of a daydream or fantasy that I was going to be able to go to the official event and hear a lot of, you know, great words said by great people about the Pulse Flow, and also be able to get on a boat on the Pulse Flow and also be able to fly over it in a plane. And that to me seemed like sort of pinnacle of activities. And I thought maybe I can figure out a way to do all of that inside of the 2 weeks that I'm down there. Little did I know that I would do all of those inside the first 4 days that I was down there. I was very fortunate to be able to experience the Pulse Flow, which was really experiencing a river in the Delta in all of those ways. And it was a pretty fantastic experience.
Can you put that into words for people? Because here's something that you've worked on for quite some time, and we all know what it's like to finish up a project we've been working on for a long time, but this is actually years of work on your behalf. What was it like the first time you actually saw water going into a place where there hadn't been any for perhaps decades?
You know, I have to say it was maybe a little bit of disbelief, and maybe that's just sort of a comment on how long I had been working on it, and it's not just me. There are many other people who worked to make the Pulse Flow possible. I'd been saying the words Pulse Flow for something like 15 years, being an advocate for sending some water for environmental purposes into the Delta. And when I started saying it, it was really a kind of bold or perhaps outlandish sounding idea. Over the years, we figured out how to make it more realistic or probable event. But nonetheless, seeing that water move past the dam's gates for the first time was still, my basic feeling was one of disbelief.
One of the stories that we were able to do afterwards was go down with a class of honor students from NAU who did some replanting. And one of the reports they brought back for us was really kind of surprising, but it was the number of people along the Delta who came out of their homes, residents who came out of their homes and waited. Were you able to see how the locals reacted to water coming through that region?
I was, and that was another element that surprised me. You know, for years, we would say, we don't just want to do these water deliveries for nature, we want to do it for the community, too. And I would say those words without really fully understanding on a human and emotional level what that would mean. What I saw first was, as the water that had been released from the gates of Morelos made it about 20 or 25 miles downstream, and that took a few days, it made it into the city of San Luis Rio Colorado, right where Highway 2 in Mexico crosses over the river. There were dozens of people waiting under the bridge in the shade. They had actually parked their cars in the riverbed because, of course, the riverbed was dry, and they were waiting there. They'd been waiting for days because they didn't know how long it would take for the water to arrive. And I happened to be there the day that it did arrive and saw people, like dozens, maybe even 70 to 100 people who'd been waiting there, have their first encounter with the water. And at first, you know, a few people saw the water kind of coming around the corner, and they walked up the dry channel to see it, and they started putting their hands in it and their feet in it and kind of touching it. Like people, you know, you had to touch it to believe it was real, and it was also just so nice to touch the water in the middle of the hot desert sun in the sand. And then as the water moved closer and closer to the bridge, just more and more people started to congregate. They had to move the cars out of the way and the trucks out of the way. And then within a day, we had a full-on river present there. And for weeks, there was really a daily fiesta at the river that built up into mariachi bands and taco stands and dancing horses. And I believe by Easter weekend, someone had even brought a Ferris wheel down to the river's banks. It was an occasion, I think, they hadn't seen water there for so long, or if they had, it had been like for a day with a sort of, you know, little spill. And here they knew it had been deliberately sent there for their benefit and the benefit of that landscape. And so it really was a celebration.
And is there a specific moment or a view that comes to mind when you think of the pulse flow?
Many. You know, in some ways, after watching the gates open, my first encounter was driving downriver to find the leading edge of the water. And there's always a little bit of standing water at the northern end of the limitrophe where groundwater is high. And so you have a little bit of just standing water in the channel. But it's pretty stagnant and warm in the summertime, or in the springtime even. And what we found was the front edge of the water for the first time moving from the pulse flow, and the water was clear and cool. And that was a surprising and rewarding first view of the pulse flow. And then for almost every day that I was there, I went to check up on where that front of the water was, because it took weeks to move all the way from the dam down to the upper Gulf, almost the full 8 weeks of the pulse flow to get all the way down. So there were many opportunities to go see where was the leading edge of the water, and it looked different every day. And not only were people out watching the river in San Luis Rio, Colorado, they were out watching it wherever and whenever I went to find that front. Even in some of the most remote rural areas, there would be people out with their kids or with their dogs, I think, just looking at this spectacle of a river arriving where it had been missing for so long. I had a song that went through my head often while I was there, which was, "You don't always know what you've got till it's gone." And here was this example of people realizing what they had once it reappeared. And I'd like to think that we always have a deep appreciation for the sort of wonders of nature around us. You know, would it always be that way? You know, do we take things for granted sometimes? Of course. I don't want to, but I think having had that river gone for so long, people clearly realized what an amazing and valuable thing it was to have it show up again.
Finally, scientifically, environmentally, I understand it'll be some time before we know what real impact this pulse flow had. Is that true?
I do think that's true. There's been a team of scientists out monitoring and collecting all kinds of data about the groundwater, the surface water, the vegetation response, the wildlife response. And a lot of the data collection has occurred for the water. Much of it is ongoing for the vegetation and wildlife response. That occurs over time. The pulse flow has its impact in terms of creating new trees, new areas of growth. It's just started, and seeing how those areas thrive or don't thrive over time is going to be an important part of the monitoring. So I expect that we may have some preliminary results to talk about maybe by the end of this year. And I know that over the years to come, there will be lots of information to share. I think in terms of the quality of life in that region, it really could add a tremendous value that isn't otherwise available in terms of creating amenities that draw people to that region and really could become the basis for economic activity. And I don't even mean just, you know, birding, going out and experiencing tours, you know, floating on the river, but really in the way that we see communities develop around natural beauty all over the world, I think this is a place where that could occur as well. And I think there are broad benefits that could come of it.
And that was Jennifer Pitt, Colorado River Projects Director at the Environmental Defense Fund, speaking to KEWC about what it was like to watch the Colorado River reclaim its barren delta and make its way to the sea during the recent Colorado River Pulse Flow.